It is Foodie Tuesday, as you are aware. Each Tuesday afternoon at this time, we talk food. And today I have a woman with me who has the job that all of us want. And while we mostly agree that chefs and restaurant owners work their proverbial butts off, it's also generally accepted, certainly by those who don't do it, that if you work in the food game, then the best job is that of the critic or the writer, eating and writing about food, really nice food. Probably it's only beaten in terms of good job by experiencing and writing about travel. Well, Marilyn Hill is the US-based president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association. And for that reason alone, we hate her. Hello, Marilyn. It's so nice to meet you. I don't really hate you.
Hello. It's great to be here.
And what's the thing that you normally say to people when they say to you, you have the best job in the whole world? I mean, it's not really a job, but you do the most exciting and wonderful thing in the whole world. Do you agree with that? Do you think
I certainly agree with it. It's a lot of hard work, though. It's not as easy as everyone thinks, but it is the best job in the
world. Why does everyone think it is so easy?
Because they think that you're just eating, which you certainly eat a lot, and drinking and traveling. And I say I was born to travel and tell the tale, but the fact is after you do these wonderful trips, you need to write the stories.
Because you're not, it's not holidaying, is it?
No.
And it's actually different to holidaying, I would assume.
It's quite a bit different. It's difficult to turn it off, though. I mean, once your mind sets that way, you're sort of always working.
So you never just take a holiday yourself and not be subconsciously thinking, oh, I should write about this. Oh, that was an interesting little roux that they did over that particular
I try.
Fish.
On occasion I try, but rarely. I probably have thousands and thousands of photographs of food.
That you're just sitting down at a table and can't help yourself. You just snap everything.
Yeah, it's my camera. Well, I left my camera out there, but it's usually around my neck. It's in my purse.
Snapping away. How widespread is this now? We think in Australia that travel and food writing and television shows completely devoted to it, it's sort of taking over the airwaves. It's taking over the television. It's taking over online. Everybody's talking about what they're eating. Everyone's traveling to wonderful places to do that eating. Is that the case globally, or are we kind of different here in Australia?
No, it's global. It's global. When I came out with my first book, Our Love Affairs with Food and Travel, that I co-authored, we had no idea we would be writing about a topic that was hot. Because
yeah,
when we
started, at that time it wasn't.
It
so
wasn't in 2001. And chefs were just starting to get hot. We just wrote about a topic that we knew and we loved. And the timing has been unbelievable, but what it's done for around the world is it's put more of a focus on fresh food, eating healthy, eating well. And even though I may go to a 3 Michelin star or 2 Michelin star or a 3 hat or 2 hat restaurant, by the same token, I go to a barbecue place that they're smoking the whole hog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's all types of cultural experience, and it's a geography lesson.
People. What do you think started that rolling? Where did that begin? Was that in Europe? Was it in the States, where this whole movement towards know what you're eating, appreciate what you're eating, try and work out how you'd be able to make something like it at home? Where did that begin?
Well, I think the fresh food started more in Europe. I mean, that's always been going to the market more on a daily basis. But I think that in the U.S., certainly the Food Network has made a tremendous difference. And it was just some chefs. I mean, you go back to Julia Child, and she was around. And before her, for me, growing up in Chicago, Antoine Pope was around, mm-hmm. and so it's been around for years, and people have had an interest. But now, economically, people are trying things, too, because they can't afford to go all the time.
That's right.
And so they're trying things at home. And I did a TV series for 4 years where I interviewed chefs, and I made copies of the videos for my nieces for Christmas, and it was their husbands that were doing the cooking. So they were thrilled.
Well, it has served to introduce the world of the kitchen to a whole group of people that probably would never have anticipated that they would end up there. My father is actually a classic example. And talking about retirement, my father always sort of did little bits of cooking, would always do the barbecue when mm-hmm. we were growing up and up until his retirement. But after he retired, he really got into cooking. My mother has always been a fantastic cook, but he then started to take on some of that load and discovered a whole world that he knew nothing about. He knew he loved to eat it, but he wasn't sure about the preparation. And he goes through all of the process now where he has all the little bowls of the ingredients that you always see on cooking shows. He has them all lined up on the bench, and he'll just go through and take, you know, each one as it's needed, as if he's doing some kind of presentation to the camera. And he's very good at it. So it's actually opened it up to, you know, 70-year-old men.
Does he clean up after himself?
It's the what actually happens in my parents' household, as it does in my household, is whoever does the cooking, the other person does the cleaning up.
Oh, see, what the way I raised my children, because I had to clean up after my mother when I was young, and she used every pan in the kitchen. Whoever cooks also cleans up their mess.
Really?
Yeah.
Rather than the opposite way around.
Well, because
then you do the whole job. What if you're the person who's always doing the cooking? See, my mother would have had a terrible time of it because she was always the cook, and then she had to be the cleaner.
Well, that would be difficult. Yeah. But, you know, I did it because I didn't want to hear the fighting of who made the bigger mess.
I totally understand that. And it is true, there are particular chefs and cooks and kitchen cooks that just use every pan, every bowl, every dish in the entire kitchen, and yeah, you don't want to be cleaning that up. I love the fact that a couple of people have texted me going, no, you just clean up as you go. You do the cooking, you clean as you go. Everybody should embrace the clean as you go.
And I'm excited by what's happening here in Australia. There's so much of a food movement going on, and in Melbourne. And
it's always been a massive food town, Melbourne. It just does it well, particularly in comparison to the rest of Australia. But, I mean, it's really caught up. And sort of that middle food group, Melbourne does really well. I mean, just that does each end too. But that middle food group where you can just go out and get something really, really good for a half-decent price has been something that Melbourne has done for a long period of time.
I mean, I'm fortunate to be able to explore the area and go. I was in the Yarra Valley, and I'm going to Western Victoria, and I'm going down to Tasmania. And
is this your first time of doing all those things?
Yes, I've been the northeastern coast, but I've never been down here before. But because of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers launching our Australasia division, I'm down here and excited by what there is to offer here. There's so much.
Well, we'll get a couple of people to send some texts in as to where you should go. That'd be a bit of fun. If you'd like to send Marilyn in the right direction, then you can text in on 19 774 774. Marilyn Hill is my special guest this afternoon. She's the US-based president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association, and she's here in Australia too. Set up the Australian division of that particular organisation, and we'll hear more about that in just a moment.
Hey, Richard, did you text Lindy yesterday saying we should bring back Hector the safety cat? I know how keen you are on him.
Richard Stubbs.
That's from Helen. Helen, I refuse to confirm or deny.
To another text that simply says we need to create a modern Hector the safety cat. I reckon just bring Hector back.
I will, however, confess that the thrill of getting your text read out and the game that is played if you're in a team is a lure.
Richard Stubbs on 774 ABC Melbourne and on digital.
You're with Lindy Burns on 774 ABC Melbourne.
16 to 4. The good news, the follow-on news, of course, about the Hector the safety cat conversation that Richard and I were having on each of our shows is that I ended up speaking to the bloke who played Hector the Safety Cat for about 10 to 12 years, John from Healesville. It was fantastic. Really enjoyed that. The text message number is 19 774 774. Marilyn Hill is with me. She's the president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association. This is Foodie Tuesday with a difference. And if you've got some suggestions for Marilyn as to where she should be visiting while she's here in Victoria and Tasmania, then now is the time to go. There's a hamburger joint near my house. And I'm not saying this to you, Marilyn. Robert obviously lives near me as well, and he has sent a text that says Andrew's Hamburgers in Albert Park are the best hamburgers in town. I've only eaten at a couple of other hamburger places. Andrew's was better than that. So if you want to, you know, step into that world, you know, get away from your hats and step into your hamburger world, then that could be a possibility for you. Does that fit? I mean,
yeah, that does fit. You know, I interviewed one time a chef that did this gourmet, one of the best meals I've ever had, and I said, where do you go to eat when you're not cooking? And he said, to find the best hamburger in the area.
Something about it.
And so I think what people sometimes think when you're writing or we'll do real fancy recipes, but then we do very, very simple ones because the simple food is good. And I certainly wouldn't want to eat gourmet food every night of the week.
Exactly.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
I love a good bowl
of soup.
Would
lose its specialness.
Yeah, it needs to be a special occasion for me.
How do you keep that fresh, though? How do you keep writing about food, writing, you know, ostensibly there's a limited supply of foods, vegetables, meats, its condiments, and the combinations thereof. How do you keep that fresh and interesting for people who follow it?
I guess because I'm so passionate about
so
it
you're
myself.
So you never lose any kind of desire for chasing the next thing or finding what the next thing is?
No, I'm also a food judge. I had 80 different tastes of conch and the Turks and Caicos. And it's just a passion. And when I type a recipe and I can almost taste it just from the ingredients.
Can you? Just by reading what the ingredients are?
Yeah.
You would be at that stage now.
Yeah.
Interesting text that says, this is from Scott. Marilyn, how do you balance family life with all the travel? I'm not actually sure what your family situation is, but it's a good question from Scott, saying, I love travel photography, but I hate being away from my kids and the rest of my family. I mean, obviously that's an issue for you and the people who are part of your organization.
Well, Scott, I'd have to say that one of the reasons so many food, wine, and travel writers are over 50 is because they can't do the full schedule when their children are young. I need to travel. I was born to travel and tell the tale. I just feel that way. But when my children were young, I had to curtail it and limit the amount of it, and certainly not enough to make a living. You have to work very hard as a food, wine, and travel writer.
So it's more a lifestyle choice. If you do like the traveling, it's more a lifestyle
choice. It's more of a lifestyle choice. And when I was raising my children, I couldn't have afforded this lifestyle.
Yes.
Even though it's a wonderful lifestyle and I get to go all over the world, there's trade-offs like anything else. And we have a lot of young members that are doing a terrific job. Once they have children,
it scales back.
It scales back.
How much time would you spend away from home each year?
Ooh,
80%?
Yeah, last year was a real heavy year, so about 80%. But a lot of times, I would say closer to 70% of the time.
Right.
And it's out of love.
Course, otherwise you wouldn't keep doing it.
No.
Just on 12 to 4, Lindy Burns here this afternoon at 774 ABC Melbourne. My guest is Marilyn Hill, who's the president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association. Yes, I have her card. I'll be making the call. Don't you worry about that. Visit Darwin, says a text. Have you been to Darwin at all? Because the text says you'll be surprised, Marilyn, at the range and the fusion of food there, because there's a huge range of cultures, which is very true. I've been to Darwin because you've got the Asian connection. You've got a very strong indigenous feed into the food as well, and then you've got just your typical seafood, Australian cuisine.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend getting to Darwin if you haven't been there already.
Yeah, no, I haven't been, and I'm looking forward to exploring Australia. And we're going to be bringing American writers here in 2013 for our conference. We're going to have our international conference here, which will be great because you'll be loaded with food journalists and we'll all be doing different areas.
So it's kind of like the food and travel writers Oprah visit.
Yes. Yes, it will be.
It's
like
exactly what that's like.
Food, wine, and travel writers. And you've got such great wineries. And I mean, they all circle Melbourne.
Yes, they do. In fact, someone just sent a text saying, have you been down to the wineries at Geelong? The Petavelle Winery near Geelong is not to be missed. Walter says the Luxa King at Flemington is another. And Katie has sent a text saying, Victoria Street in Abbotsford, the Min Min salt and pepper squid, it's wow every single time. So I should be writing this down for you, Marilyn, so you can take them away with you and go and make the visits.
Well, I appreciate everyone's suggestions because it's great.
How much do you rely on that? It's kind of word of mouth, isn't it?
A lot. I rely on suggestions a lot. I don't critique a restaurant because anyone can have a bad night and everybody's palate's different. And I don't like to waste my time writing about something I didn't enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I rely on recommendations a tremendous amount.
Will you say if something is bad, though? I kind of get a bit tired sometimes of just reading the same reviews. Not so much here, but other places I've been where it just everything's always wonderful.
If someone asks me what I thought of a particular place, I may say that isn't where I would necessarily want to go back to. It wasn't my favorite. But I'm not going to say, or I may say, they had a bad night when I was there. I think I need to go back another time.
So you're still you're quite polite.
I'm quite polite about it. Unless it's just, if something's just horrendous, I'm certainly not going to cover it up, but I'm not going to necessarily down them. That's just who I am.
It's your style.
Yeah.
Jim's Greek Tavern says in Johnson Street in Collingwood, says another text, it's the best hands down. And going back to the cleaning thing, you know, who cleans up? Kelly says, yes, who cooks cleans? I clean as I go, only plates left to wash, and my teenage kids do them most nights, and it sort of works for them. So there's just different rules for different houses. More with Marilyn in just a moment. Marilyn Hill is with me, the president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association. Perhaps you would like to ring up and ask her for some tips. I'm sure she'll give them to you. Let's pause briefly and get some music from Frank Day. You get Frente and Ordinary Angels. I'm only laughing because you're all so hilarious. It's the great beauty of my job is that you just respond to everything that I say or do or play. This person, anonymous texter, see, didn't put your name to it. Too scared. My God, what is this song? I'm about to cut my ears off. See, the thing is, I think, and I could be wrong because, you know, I'm not in the physiology game, but I reckon you'd still be able to hear it. It's just a thought. Even if you cut your ears off. But, you know, if you're a doctor, ENT specialist, you can give me a call and let me know if that's not true. 5 to 4, the person who was snickering there is Marilyn Hill. And Marilyn, it's just lovely to have had you here. So where do you head to? You head to regional Victoria and then to Tasmania in the next few days?
Yes. Yes, that's, and I'm excited by it. There's so much to see here and learn. And
yeah, we all want to be you. That's it. We want someone to take us around regional Victoria and Tasmania and then fly back to the States and write about it. Congratulations on being able to do this job and do it with such passion, and that you love it so much, and that you're setting up the division here in Australia. And we'll see you in, what, 2013? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
And you're bringing all your Oprah-like friends out right. from the States.
Except writers.
Except writers,
I mean, they are writers. They are writers that we'll be bringing. And thank you very much.
Pleasure.
The time.
Nice to have seen you. Marilyn Hill, the president of the International Food, Wine and Travel Writers Association, making a journey to Australia to set up a division of that organisation here, and lots of really good travel and food writers in Australia already who'll no doubt be joining.